Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1 and 15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think of, well, y'all say you can't do this, you can't do this, and you can't do certain things. You don't matter how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. Not a must. I mean, it's not a maybe. It's a must. It's not just an optional way, another plate building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Of God Ministries. Tonight we're coming to you, Straight Talk is coming to you, Breaking Generational Curses. Now we have a lot to cover, so I want you to buckle your seatbelts. Now toward the end of the program, because Bishop has some teaching he needs to do, then we will open the phone lines and I'll be giving out the guest call-in number. Now this number is strictly for if you need prayer or if you have a few questions. We ask that you keep it short because, like I said, it's only a 90-minute program. So we're here for you. So just keep it, you know, short. And at the later on, I'll give you the guest call-in number. But let's go into the Word of God. Father God, we just want to thank you on tonight. Lord God, we just give you all praise, honor, and glory. Lord God, because you are worthy to be praised. So, Lord God, we ask that as we go forth on tonight, that you will be with us, guide us. We're vessels, Lord, to be used by you. We break every demonic stronghold over our listening audience. We come against the spirit of distractions, hindrances. We bind you up in the name of Jesus. that they will hear this word.
Amen.
It will go on good ground tonight.
Amen.
Father God, and we give you all the praise and glory because we know it's not about us, but it's about you. So, Lord God, as we open ourselves up to be used, pour out of us, Lord God, what you would have us to say. We give you all the praise, all the glory, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So, like I said, we're going to be talking about generational curses. We know it's a lot to cover, so we're going to give you a precursor to what comes next week. See, with spiritual warfare, you can't just do a quick 20-minute sermons like sometimes you get at church. It's deeper than that, saints. You can't just do that. So we want to just peel it back like an onion, layer by layer. This is what you're going to get, okay? This is why we call it straight talk, because unlike a lot of churches, you might go and get a sugar-coated, a ice cream message. It feels good. But after you leave out of there, you're saying, I'm still bound up. I still haven't gotten a victory over certain things in my life, certain things that may have been passed down through my family line. Yeah, the sermon was good. I felt a little some, but it didn't break the strongholds. Amen? So this is what we're going to be teaching on tonight. So we know everybody now, television, Hollywood, everybody have gotten on the bandwagon talking about demons. Number one, I want to say demons is real. Unlike Hollywood, how they can, make it sensational, they are real because Jesus, there's many accounts in the Bible where he addressed demons. One family, one father was, his son was so bound up with the devil. He said, I took him to your disciples. He said he had spent all his money. This is just paraphrasing. I took him to your disciples and they couldn't cast it out. Jesus said, bring the lad to me. And he asked his disciples, how long I'm going to be with y'all? Look, I got to be about my father's business. You should be learning how to do these things. So when I pass on, you can do them too. This is what we're talking about tonight in spiritual warfare. We as ministers of the kingdom, we can pray with you. We can even intercede with you. But when it comes down to spiritual warfare for your family, you're going to have to take up that sword. You see that big angel, that picture we put on our post? That's to let you know that this angel is ready to fight for you. But you have to give them the authority. Just like you give demons permissions to come in your home, you have to give the angels permission to fight on your behalf. Amen? So demon spirits can invade and indwell human bodies. We know that. When you say, evangelist, well, how do they dwell in your human body? Because I'm a Christian. Well, it's deeper than that. Okay, they attach the soul man. They can't touch your spirit. But they can come to the flesh. That's why he said we have to crucify the flesh daily. You see, a lot of Christians, they may go to church, raise holy hands, even speak in an unknown tongue, but they still can't break that demon of fornication or that demon of pornography or that demon of getting smoking weed. These are attached to your soul, man. Okay? So let's move on because I want to yield the floor. So when demons indwell a person, he or she is said to have evil spirits. You know, sometimes the churches will say there's something else there. Nowadays, they won't even say demons. They won't address it because, you know, the church is so, I guess they say that's so primitive. But yet, look at the news. Look at some of this heinous stuff you see going on in the news. You know, they'll say it's mental illness, but come on now. Deep down, you know it's something behind that that is causing all these shootings, all these killings, kids killing their parents, parents killing their kids.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now.
Right.
It ain't just mental illness. But like I said, when Hollywood, everybody, go to YouTube, you get so many hundreds of thousands of hits about the supernatural, demons,
that's
ghosts.
Right. That's right.
Because they curious, they want to know, but the church ain't doing nothing. So guess where they going to go? To the world.
That's right.
They don't see a lot of power in the church, so where are they going to go? To the world. Come on, church, we got to rise up. The word translated possessed by the King James Version is the Greek word demosion, meaning many Greek authorities say this is not an accurate translation. We don't want to get into that. We just know it's demons, okay? So I'm going to go on down. The Christian should always consider indwelling demons as unnecessary. Did you hear what I'm saying? And undesirable trespassers. Talking about opening your home. This is why we're addressing the fathers. Now, you notice Jesus didn't tell the mothers. He said this is going to be handed down to the father, to the third and fourth generation. And I was thinking as I was in prayer today, and God said, you know what? He said, think about ancestry, ancestry. They got on the bandwagon because they know your DNA can go for generations, generations, and generations. Look at that family tree. Ancestry.com is making billions of dollars because they don't tap into that. Why is the church always behind the scene when it comes to demonic realms, spiritual things? We live in this fantasy world that your life is going to be perfect when you confess Jesus and you go up there and you just, I believe, yeah, I believe. Okay, Jesus, your Lord and Savior, you say. Baby, it don't stop there. Let me just be straight up. This is why we call it straight talk. That's when you really have to gird yourself up and you're going into spiritual warfare. Because the devil gonna mess with you whether you sold out for God or whether you is not sold out to God. I tell people all the time, you either get ready to go into a battle or you coming out of a battle. Bishop and I, raising three boys, our life ain't been perfect. We had to go many times in prayer and the battlefield just to fight for our children. This is why we're imploring the fathers, take your rightful position. Stand up and fight for your family. And if you don't know God, tonight is the night you can repent and you can ask God to deliver you from some of this bondage that was passed down from your father to your father. I'm going to tell you these things. These doors can be opened through many ways. Fathers can open the doors through drunkenness, through lust, through divorce, and mothers can too. But tonight, I don't want a lot of feminists calling me talking about, well, I raised my kid by myself. That's fine. I commend you for that, mother. But tonight, we are addressing the fathers because it was Father's Day last week. We are live, so sometimes we're going to have difficulties with the transmitting. So this is why the Lord put on our heart to just bring a part two. But, yeah, we commend the mothers out there that's holding it down. Thank God for you mothers. But I'm talking to specifically to these fathers that has dropped the ball, and they leave the mother there to intercede for the family. Dad, where you at? Why don't you get up and go to church with your wife? Why don't you be on your knees praying and interceding? Where are you, Father? Do you not see the doors you have opened? Those little innocent kids gonna grow up one day. And we'll talk about David and how David, apple of God's eye, man after God's heart. But David, because he opened the door to lust, he opened his home up to murder, incest, a lot of other things. Yes, David repented. But the sword, God said, will never depart from your door. Because you allowed the Satan to enter in. So sin, the door for demons to enter, may be opened by oneself through sin of omission or commission. Things that you know to do and you don't do, and things that you should be doing and you won't do. Life circumstances, evil spirits have no sense of fairness. They attack black, white, young, old. They don't care. They'll come rich, poor. They don't care. They never hesitate to take full advantage of times of weakness in a person's life. And that's when they most attack you in the mind first. You're going through some kind of trauma, even as trauma as a kid. Maybe you was an abused child. That's how they usually enter in, through that mind. Mm-hmm. And there's other things they can enter in. When you give these kids these alcohol at a young age, that's why they call them spirits. You're opening them up to it.
That's right.
You see? Then you got your door open to other things. You can open doors through occult practices. Kids think it's fun to just get a Ouija board and play games. It's not a game, baby. You're opening yourself up to demonic influence. Fathers who open doors, like I said, look at your family tree. Look at your lineage. I just want you to pause for a second and look down your line. And he said to the third and fourth generation. So that would probably be a great-great-grandfather, maybe great-great-great. Think about that. What is in your lineage that you need to break? Now, let's get something clear. You can break it when you repent and come into the knowledge of God, but that still doesn't stop you from spiritual fighting for your family. I can even pray with you. I can help you break it, but I can't fight for your own lineage. You have to do it. Let me give you an example. My family had some alcoholism, and it was through my grandmother and my aunts, and it just went down. So when my husband and I got married, and divorce runs on his side and my side too, when we got married, we made a decree that we was not going to let these things destroy our marriage. What did we do? Now, you can't do it when the kids are grown. Now, you could pray with your grown kids, but you have to start when they're smaller. And to those who have grown kids, you have to teach them how to fight for their children. And we're still fighting. We got some things up before the Lord right now. And we refuse to say, Satan, you are not going to take my family. You got to look the devil in the eye and say, I am willing to fight. When soldiers go to war, they put their lives on the battlefield for this country. A lot of them don't even know what they're fighting about. But they take that honor in defending this country. This is what I'm saying to you fathers. Pick back up your banner. Take your honor and defend your family. There's a lot of curses you could speak over your children. There's a curse of disobedience. We're going to get into that. There's a curse of witchcraft. There's a curse of speaking evil. I call them word curses. And you see a lot of families, they word curses. They curse their kids. They call them all kinds of bad names. They curse them. Call them good for nothing. This, that, and you get the gist. You know what I'm talking about. You probably come in up in a home like that. All you hear is negativity put down. You're nothing. You're this. You're that. So that is, what did I say? Demons enter in through weakness. So if that child or that person is already torn down, maybe a battered wife or whatever, torn down, all that devil got to do is feed in her mind, you ain't about nothing. Nobody will ever love you. You don't deserve to be loved. That's how the devil talked to you. If he came to Jesus when Jesus was fasting 40 days and 40 nights, guess what? He's going to come to you.
That's right.
Come on, let's put aside this hunky-dory Christianity. Oh, the sky, I call them sunshine Christians. Because you happy long as everything going nice. But, Lord, when that demon come up in your door and your doors is open, who can beat you hollering?
Yeah.
He say, call upon me while it's day. It is day. When things are going good, don't just stop your prayer life. Continue to pray for your family. There's a curse of charismatic witchcraft. And there's a curse of the bastard. You say, ooh, Sister Montgomery, you cursed. No, it's in the Bible. The curse of the bastard is a child who has no father that nobody wants. That's why you have to rededicate them back to God. You have to give them over to God. Say, Lord, we used to get in the church, I don't even know, we would bless our children because you don't know what's in that line. And there could have been some in the lineage. You know, So what we want to do, there's histories about families and their descendants, and you got to be able to discern. This is what is lacking in the body of Christ, no discernment. They don't have any. They're just walking around open game, and the enemy coming up in their house, he is destroying it from the flow up. It hurts my heart that I could see crystals. I say, you got so much power. But use it. You got all this weaponry that God has given to us, but you won't use it. You don't have to be a doormat for the enemy, saints. You don't have to let the devil come in and just give your family over to the enemy. Now, like I said, when they get grown, they may stray. Look at the prodigal son. He's straight. But that father, listen, he had put those principles of God in him so deep that although he strayed, he said, I believe I'll go back to my father. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, you may not have had an earthly father, but God is saying you could come back to your father. Amen. You never get too far away where you can go back to your father. Hallelujah. Praise God. You can bring cursed objects in your home. Things that you know been offered to idols. You could bring them in your home unknowingly. And one thing I heard, a young man, he was in witchcraft. He had been a practicing witch. He said, you can bring cursed objects in your home by demons enter by, guess what, permission.
That's right.
He said, that's how they come in your home.
That's right.
Well, I ain't told no devil he had permission to come up in my house. But when you do certain things, when you open certain doors, you've given him a license to come in.
That's right. That is right.
Amen. So we need to be careful how we think, how we act. We got to get back to our roots of studying the word. Ain't nobody telling you you got to walk around with your head in a cloud. But I just want you to be mindful that we are fighting a real spiritual battle.
That's right.
Amen. Only the blood of Christ can break these demonic strongholds. Don't try to fight without them. Yeah, you're going to go to the psychiatrist. Maybe he acting up, your kid or something. That's good. I'm not downplaying that. Medical professions is good, but there comes a time when you have to distinguish between medical professions and when you need prayer.
Amen.
So sometimes the medical profession can't help what you're dealing with.
That's right. That is so right.
You see? So the first thing is recommitting your life to God and say, Lord, I know I opened the door in this area. Call it out. Because, see, when you call them demons out, they lose that power.
Amen.
So say, Lord, let's take for instance, maybe I was in Freemasonry. I break the spirit of Freemasonry over my lineage, over my kids.
Amen.
Maybe it was the spirit of adultery. Now, these are demons, mind you. We got names. We call them. But I'm saying, Lord, I come against the spirit of adultery. I break it off of my life.
Amen.
I repent of it, and I break it off my seed. Spirit of disobedience, break it. Cursed object, I come against it. False swearing, come against it. Voodoo curses, I come against it. I break it. Amen? Witchcraft curses, I come against it right now in the name of Jesus. I break it off my life and my lineage. You see how I'm praying?
Amen.
That's how you pray. A spirit of mental illness. I break that right now in the name of Jesus. I break it off my family. Amen? So at this time, we're going to, in closing of what I have to say, then I'm going to turn it over to Bishop. And then, like I said, we're going to open the floor for you to call in. So y'all pray for evangelists. Amen?
Amen, amen, amen. We want to thank the Lord for Evangelist Montgomery as she was going into breaking generational curses. And that's basically what we are. And what we're seeing today, every day we see this in the news. We see it everywhere. And we say, well, they're going around, they're shooting people, they're killing people, they're doing all this evil. Well, what's going on with this? All right. I would say this, so goes the family, so goes the nation. If you have foul spirits, if you have generational curses moving in the families of a nation, is going to spread throughout the nation. Well, we're talking about breaking generational curses. Now, in order to break any curse, and I would say this, a curse is the consequences of unrepented sin. A curse is the consequences of unrepented sin. That's simply as simple as I can get it. Now, what that is, it's like in the natural realm, what goes up must come down. So when you do wrong, it's going to come back to you. That old saying, what goes around comes around. So if you do wrong, it's going to come around one way or another. Now, what we were talking about earlier in breaking these generational curses, as I said before, it will start in the family, and it starts within someone's mind, okay? Someone's mind, whether it be father, grandfather, grandmother, or whatever, all your greats. The enemy deals with the mind first and foremost. You can do nothing without your mind, you know? It's like I was looking at a saying on someone's a sign on the back of someone's car next to his license plate. It said, the thing I missed the most in life was when I missed my mind. I really missed my mind. And it was really funny when he said that, but that's what the enemy does. He wants to get you in a state where you will accept his curses. They're not yours. They're his. But you accept them via the via of sin and disobedience to God. You open yourself up to that. And we're talking about breaking generational curses. As I said before, what is a curse? Really, it's the opposite of a blessing. But it's also the consequence of sin. Remember, all this started from Adam and Eve, disobedience. What they really did was they gave the enemy permission to put on them the curses that was on him. And the enemy's main purpose is to keep you away from God, to keep you from repenting, to keep you from having what God wants for you, to keep you from receiving God's best. That's the working of the enemy. How does he do it? Through packing you with all kinds of curses and dealing with your mind where you feel that you do not need God for anything. You're already going in the direction of being cursed because you're moving away from God. I'm going to go into some scripture with you. Since we're talking about breaking generational curses, we're going to go into some verses that would help you with it. But first of all, we're going to go into the cause of some of this stuff. We have to remember, all of the problems of mankind, and I have to say this because it's true, God is not doing all this evil. God is not killing people. God is not destroying the world. What is happening is man's allegiance to Satan is what is destroying the world. Man's mind, his will, his choices is what's causing all these problems in the world. Man chooses and opens the door for satanic infestation. And the Lord told us what the purpose of Satan is, what he does. He comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. So if you side with him, that's what you're going for, and that's what happens. That's what you're seeing today. The result of all these curses that's on the land. And as I said before, A curse really is the opposite of a blessing. It's the consequence of unrepented sin. I have to say that. Because people say, and another thing too, in the realm of the spirit, there is only good and evil. There's only God and there's Satan. There's no in-betweens. There's, as Evangelist Montgomery say, we are always in a war. The enemy is always continually fighting us 24/7. He's fighting us to get control of our minds, to make us believe that sin and error and wrong is all right. That's how he brings all this garbage into fruition. Now, let me get into some things. See, I want to go to the scripture with you. And Joshua 24 reads, "Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether it be the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now you might say, well, I'm not serving the devil. I'm not serving the enemy. I'm not allowing demons and evil spirits to come into my family. But if you are doing the things that are in the enemy's camp, you are serving the enemy. You are the servant of whom you obey. So if you are deep into all kind of perversion, alcoholism, drugs, the occult, witchcraft, sorcery, all these other things, you're serving that stuff, and that stuff comes from the enemy, so you're serving the devil. Well, how are you going to get out of that? Well, you get out of that by coming to the Father through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, accepting Jesus as their Savior, because he died on the cross to break all those curses that the enemy put on mankind from the fall of Adam and Eve. Jesus, he's already broken all that off of you. But if you don't accept him, you're still under the curse. You're still under the curse. You're still under the curse. Now, let me go back to the scripture. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 through 14, it says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, the whole matter of life and existence. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all." That's how God looks at it. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Now, Numbers 14 reads, "And now I pray, let the power of my Lord be great, just as you have spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. But he by no means clears the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. Pardon the iniquity of his people, I pray, according to the greatness of your mercy, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt even until now." Now, what is he saying right there? What he's basically saying is this. When the elders of any family stray away from God, fall into unrepentant sin, and continue in that, the children are looking at that. The children are looking at that, and they say, well, you know, Daddy and Mama, they do all this foul stuff. It must be okay. And so they pick up that same thing. Then their children see them doing it, and then their children say, oh, my mom and dad, it's okay to do this, that, and the other thing. So they continue it on. And what do you have going on? You have those foul spirits going from generation to generation to generation. Now, until someone breaks that, it's going to continue. Well, how do you break it, Bishop? Well, you break it by coming to Jesus.
Amen.
You break it by coming to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Because he already broke all of that on the cross. Jesus was a physical man, like any man, but he was also the Son of God.
Amen.
He was an unblemished sacrifice for us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we say he went up on the cross, he died, he was whipped all night long, all this stuff. But the thing about it, the things that our Lord and Savior went through on our behalf is beyond our imagination. We can't even describe the stuff that he went through. But yet, when he was going through all that, what did he do? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But he took all the sins, all the corruption, all the curses of the entire world, and he took it from us.
And you know, Bishop, I was thinking, as natural fathers, how much you're going to go to the end of the world to fight for your children? You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So if earthly fathers do that, how much more did our Lord and Savior do it on our behalf?
That's right. That's right. I give my opinions on some things, but I like to keep with the scripture. And the Lord has given us things whereas we can bless our children, bless our family. When we come to the Lord, they're already blessed. Now, one thing I want to say, we have to stay in the Lord. You can't be flipping in and out, because every time you flip in and out, you're opening those doors again. You're giving the enemy permission to come into your house and wreak havoc. Now, the thing about it, the Lord did say that we would have trouble anyway. He said that. He said things happen. Good things happen and also bad things happen. And when what I'm saying, you might be driving down the street or something and somebody just come up and hit you. Some things happen like that. But those things are not curses. Those things are just something that happens.
Life,
that's just life. Yeah. Curses are something that you open up. You open up these things.
Right.
You see? You open the door to this. So I'm going to go a little bit more in the scripture. Now, Numbers 6:22, it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, we're speaking blessing now, speak unto Aaron and unto his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance unto thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Did you hear that? God said he will bless you when you follow him. Now, some people, a lot of believers too, they only consider blessings in things. Nice houses, big cars, money in the bank, you know, everybody speaking well of you and all this kind of stuff like that. But God does not consider those things to be blessings when you're on your way to hell or when the enemy is destroying your household.
Mm-hmm.
He does not consider that to be blessing. Yeah. I have to make that clear, because we confuse that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know you can be blessed and not have a whole lot of stuff? And please God, and your obedience to, that's what pleases God, obedience to him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you say, well, why do I have to obey God? Well, you obey everybody else. The enemy tell you something, you do what he say. The job tell you something, you do what they say. Mom and dad tell you something, you're obedient to them, but you can't be obedient to God. Hey, come on now.
Amen.
Come on now. Now that was a blessing, but then again, we go to Proverbs 4:1-4. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive, that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. God has been saying that forever. Keep my commandments and live. And so, and other passages say, why should you die? Why should you be destroyed? Why should you obtain the curses of this land?
Right.
Only thing you got to do is follow me and I'll bless you.
Amen.
All right. All right. Now let's go a little further. It says in Luke 15:20-23. Now we're giving you information that will help you to break these various curses or these evil things that may happen. Okay? Now, Luke 15:20-23 is familiar verses. And he rose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate.
Amen.
Now, one thing that you got to remember, check this out. The son repented.
Mm-hmm.
He told his father, say, look, man, in so many words, I messed up. I know I messed up.
Yeah.
I sinned against heaven and before you.
Jeez.
So he acknowledged that he was doing wrong to God and his father.
Mm-hmm.
And the father accepted him back in love, back to his former state. You see, that's the same way it is with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
The same way it is with God. Don't let the enemy tell you that you have erred and sinned so much that God won't take you back. Anytime you repent from the bottom of your heart, the Lord will take you back regardless of what you've done. Look, and the reason I'm saying this, there have been people who have actually sold themselves to the enemy and God brought them out. God brought them out. He saved them. He filled them with his Holy Spirit, with his Holy Ghost, and is using them right now for the kingdom.
Yeah.
So don't you sit up and let the enemy brainwash you to believe that you can't get back to the Father. Yes, you can.
And he's the Father of all.
As quickly as you tell the Father genuinely from your heart, Father, I messed up. I'm sorry. I sinned. Forgive me. He does it.
Amen.
He does it. Okay, we're talking about breaking generational curses,
yes.
And you cannot break any curse without coming to the Father, without coming to Jesus Christ, because he has already broken those curses on the cross.
Yes,
he did it all. Only thing you have to do is call on him sincerely. Now, he knows when you're sincere. So you can't pull the rope-a-dope on the Lord. You can't do that because he knows your heart.
Amen.
All right. A lot of people say, well, God knows my heart. Yeah, he does.
And what do you say come out the heart?
Yeah.
Adultery, lying.
All kind of crap come out the heart. So he knows your heart.
Yeah, he knows what's in it.
Now, I say Malachi 4, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children.
Yes.
And the hearts of the children to the fathers. Lest I come and strike the earth with a curse.
Hmm.
Mm. Now, that's some strong words there. Now, this right here is in reference to end times. And we are in end times.
Yes, yes.
So something is getting ready to happen. Now, it's a lot of people that think because they don't believe something that nullifies it.
Mm-hmm.
But you can believe that you can fly, and you can jump off a building, And you'll find out when you hit that ground that you couldn't fly, but you believed you could. So what I'm saying is, just because you believe something is not true does not take away the truthfulness of that thing that you believe.
Yeah.
Now, we have a few more minutes here, and then we're going to open up the phone lines. But I'm going to bring some more information to you here. And we're going to now, what we're talking about now, there will be a continuation of this. We will continue on this next week, next Friday also, because we really haven't gotten into the depth of breaking these generational curses.
Right.
We're kind of touching on, we're topical with it right now.
Mm-hmm.
We're just, you know, touching the tip of the iceberg. But it gets much deeper than this. We're just kind of bringing a little bit of it out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in Deuteronomy 5:8-10, it goes more into this. It said, thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Now, it says this, thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments.
Can you elaborate on that, I'm a jealous God?
Yeah.
We had a famous person who didn't understand
that. Well, okay, I would say it like this. They say, I am a jealous God. Why was he jealous? Why was he jealous? Because he had a chosen people that was dedicated to him. And he said jealous in reference to a marriage. You hear what I'm saying?
Right.
A marriage. Now, I don't know too many men and women who would say, okay, you can, you know, you can go out with my husband, you know, for a night or two.
You
know, no. Yeah. I mean, but most marriages is not like that. Now, you have these swingers and stuff, but I'm not talking about the swingers. I'm talking about a covenant relationship marriage where that husband and that wife is considered to be one. So when they... when somebody is doing some stuff they're not supposed
outside
to do
of marriage,
outside
yeah.
of that marriage, then that husband or that wife is going to feel a certain way.
No, but it don't give you the license to go out and kill somebody.
No, it don't.
That's not what God's talking
Mm-mm.
about.
It don't, but what it is a statement of love
right.
toward a people.
Right.
Now, if he didn't care about the people, he said, well,
you do
what you want to do. I don't
like
care.
Like you do your kids.
Yeah.
You love them.
You love them.
Yeah.
And you don't want them to getting into all kind of stuff. But that's what it means. He's jealous in that it's not the kind of jealousy that we
you
see.
Think.
It is a love for his people.
Okay.
All right?
Amen.
And he said, show mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Now, that's about all we have right now. We have about 40 minutes left. Evangelist Montgomery, do you have anything else that you would like to bring up?
I just wanted to give the phone line and open the phone lines. So if you have, like I said, if you want prayer, we're here. We'll pray with you. Now, let me say this. What we want you to do, and if we have touched on some soft spots and you know that you need some deliverance or you know you need prayer, we are here to intercede on your behalf. We will, you just leave, you know, we're not going to put your name out there. We're not going to put your phone number because we can see your phone number when you call in. But if you need someone to stand with you, to pray with you, and don't get us wrong, we're not judging you, but we're telling you some principles to start where you can get deliverance for yourself first and then for your family. You know, I heard, and we wrote a book recently, Building Godly and Mature Relationships. You would be shocked at the people call us with marital problems. And I'm not saying we have all the answers. The first thing we ask them, did you read the book? No, I ain't read. But you want me to give you a short synopsis on how to repair your marriage when you done brought all kinds of hell in your marriage, then you want a quick fix.
You know where it starts at? You want your marriage to be healed? Let me tell you where it starts. What Bishop said, repentance. That's the first key. And I tell anybody, I'm bringing your marriage, bringing it rededicated back to God. See, but this is not what the world, they'll run to everybody 3 and 4 times. God say, seek godly wisdom.
Amen.
How do I fix my marriage? You going to somebody been married 5 times or who never been married,
mm-hmm.
don't know the first thing about marriage, but they're going to tell you how to fix your marriage.
That's right.
This is what we're telling you. Principles in deliverance. You got a bad marriage, the first thing both of y'all need to do, and we don't go with the blame game, because you know that's what Adam, he said, well, you gave me that woman, she caused me to sin, and then she blamed it on the snake. So this is what I'm saying. When you fight for your family, stop playing the blame game.
That's right.
Well, he brought it in. It was because of him that little Johnny acting foolish.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's basically how it is. But one thing I would like to say in reference to, this is straight talk. We're talking about breaking generational curses. And people can say whatever they want to say. Mm-hmm. But the majority of times, if you notice, when somebody really gives himself over to God, and it could be anybody, anywhere in the world, under any kind of indoctrination of anything, when they really come into the knowledge of God and Christ, of the Word of God, there is a change in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a change for the better. Now, they might not, well, no one is perfect, but their life changes for the better. And many times that change remains because it is a change brought about by God and his power of the Holy Ghost.
And let's go back to relationships, and we're licensed on relationships. But this is what I see a lot of times in the church. And like I say, they want a quick fix, but they don't want to do the spiritual warfare. Your life as a father, you got to stand up and say, I'm taking back. I'm rededicating myself back to God. Now, I'm talking to somebody out there. You know what you is, and it's not wholesome. You need to break it. And I can call it out. But you need to break that. You need to repent because you're saying you're a Christian. Let me tell you something. Your kids watch you. And this is what happened with David. David was the man after God's own heart. But when he saw Bathsheba, Uriah's wife. Now, he had what? 700 concubines, wives, concubines? And he looked out there and saw that man's wife. That man was on the front line fighting the war for his king. That's how dedicated he was. David was supposed to be at war with the other soldiers. That's what the kings would do, go to battle. But he saw her. This is how lust entered. David saw her, he wanted her. See, that was a little bit of pride, too, because with the king, you could have whatever you want. He had no kind of regard that his best soldier was on the front line for him. He wanted her. He told him to bring her to him, and he slept with her, and he got her pregnant. That was the first sin. Lust entered. See how I told you how that door, he opened that door? Lust entered. He slept with her. Then that was another sin. He murdered her husband to try to cover up the sin. Consequences of that, you don't know, his other son could have been watching that, Absalom. Absalom hated his father. He even sought to kill his dad. Look, this is the Bible, y'all. I know you ain't hearing about it in your little perfect school, Sunday school. They just put David like, oh, he's a man after God's heart. But because of what David did, Absalom, whatever it was, he hated his father. He sought to kill his father. In the process of that, another door was opened. one of his sons lusted after his sister. Incest came into that family. He raped his sister. Absalom went and killed, there was murder, killed his brother. Then the Solomon, the one that was born out of Bathsheba and David's unholy union, he was full of lust. Because he got caught up in worshiping idol gods, he had all his wives, and he turned away from the God Jehovah and started worshiping idol gods. That caused him to not even be honored. They said they just buried him with his fathers. You see what I'm saying, how that sin opened the door? But God told David, this, although the book of Psalms is all about repentance, God said, but you, some of these circumstances, you did it. You're going to pay for it. But he paid for it through his children. And that's, you right, might say, Evangelist, what are you talking about? I repented when I did this and that. What if you was out there having adultery and you get the woman pregnant? What would you do? You can't do away with the baby, although this abortion, you know, thank God overturned it today. I'm thanking God for it, because look at all the innocent babies have died.
By the millions.
Millions at the hand of just being irresponsible. I'm not saying there are some causes. But some of this, they use an abortion as a means of birth control. And I have to say that, yeah, I'm going to keep it straight. And I don't care if you're Democratic, Republican, the evangelist is going to tell you the truth. It is what it is. Don't come telling me I'm going to take a political stance. No, I'm telling you the truth. But this is what I'm saying. When one door is open, demons, listen, we're going to be talking about this. They come in clusters.
That's right.
So usually if you caught up in adultery, you get pregnant, you don't want her to tell your wife. I've seen some stupid stories where he don't want her to tell the wife, so he go out and do something to the girlfriend. Well, you laid up with her. You see what I'm saying? This is how some people just let the devil just use them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you say, well, you say that if I repent. So you said because you repent, God's going to just say, well, do away with the baby. It's all over with. No, you're going to pay for that consequence. Probably child support. Probably your wife divorcing you. You can't undo that.
That's right.
But you can start where you are now. Say, Lord, yeah, I messed up. Go and repent and stop doing it.
That's right.
Sometimes the kids is old enough where they know what you did. But you could be a man and say, look, I messed up. I deserted your mom 20 years ago. Look, I want to make it right. I deserted your dad. We want to recommit ourselves to our family. And this is all we're saying. Okay, we got the phone lines. If you want to call in, if you need prayer, here's the call-in number, 319-527-6058. Again, 319-527-6058. And once you call in, we'll just give the last four digits of your phone number and your first name only. But we're just kind of talking because, like we were saying, we see so much of this, so many broken families. So it's, and then the kids, a lot of times, they the ones that suffer. You know, your children, they'll love you no matter what, because that's what they do. But at some point in their life, they grow up and they, like Absalom, and he rebelled.
Amen. That's true. And see, the thing about this, that's the reason why we're talking about breaking generational curses, is because that's how all this stuff starts. It was some preachers many times ago, they would say sin is the cause of it all, and it is. But there are things connected to that. It's like anything else. Evangelist Montgomery spoke about foul spirits, demons, and they come in clusters. So there's nothing that you do that's not connected to something else. It's just like good things you do. If you say something good or you do something good, there's ramifications to that, and there's good connected to that also. You know, it's the same way with evil. Well, evil is just not a single thing.
Right.
You know, it's thing connected. It's just like this here. If you constantly concentrate on evil all the time, it's just a matter of time before you begin to do what is evil. All right. It's going to manifest itself. As I said before, it starts with the mind. It's like anything else. When you go to school, you study things. You take it to your mind. You take it to your mind. You dwell on it. You meditate on it. And then you go take the test. You pass the test. If there's a practicum, you'll take the practicum. You'll go out and you'll build or you'll make something from what you studied or what you dwelled with or what you manifest with. The thing will begin to manifest. That's why we were talking about breaking generational curses.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody just ups and does anything.
Right.
Now, they might say, well, they didn't up and do it. All these things that we see on the news, these people didn't just all of a sudden do those things.
No.
They set up. They thought about it. They ran it over and over in their mind. They strategized it. They did all these things, and then they did it, and you see them on the news.
Yeah. Amen.
These people that go and do these heinous things, they don't just do those things.
Right.
They talk to people, mm-hmm. or people talk to them.
Right.
Something comes through the airwaves, and they dwell on it. And they keep running it over and over and over in their mind. Now, they're not considering or thinking the source of it.
Right.
Because they're already weak in their minds. They already halfway want to do those things. And when you halfway want to do something, it don't take much encouragement to do it.
Amen. And like we were saying, there's doors we open that, it's easy probably to break a spirit of line or something like that, because like I said, they don't have soul ties.
Mm-hmm.
But we find in marriage counseling, the hardest thing to break is sexual sin.
Yeah.
And we're going to be talking about that too. We have a caller. Amen. It's 1231. Caller, you're live.
Point today.
You're live, caller.
We're
here.
Yeah, how you doing?
We're doing good. How are you?
Great. I'm listening and I hear some great words.
Do you have a comment?
Yeah, I have a comment.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I've been listening to this teaching and it's very powerful. Hear this type of word going forth.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the key things that stuck out to me is the curse of the parents.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the unrepentant parent chose not to repent because of pride and left that door open in their families. And I was just thinking about David, how he repented, but those doors were open at a point that the kids was old enough to already see what had happened.
Mm-hmm.
So he exposed those children to a lot of things. But I just thought that was powerful. But yeah, me personally, I always need prayer of past things I'm not proud of, but
mm-hmm.
I always want prayer. And learning more about walking in the authority and breaking generational curses in my life.
Yeah, and that's why we have the word. Let's see here. For one thing, we have to realize is that in Galatians 3:13 and Ephesians 6 and 12, it says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. In other words, what the word of God is telling us is that he took all curses of the law and he fulfilled the law in what he did, being the perfect sacrifice, so that we don't have to have those curses. We don't have to go on that anymore. And then it says in Ephesians 6 and 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, that was a Paul that was saying that. So it lets us know that we're not fighting in the natural realm. We're fighting in the realm of the spirit. But we already have the victory because Jesus Christ has already given us authority over all these things. And not only that, he has given us instruction by the word how to not open certain doors and how not to give the enemy permission to come in and wreak havoc in our lives. Now, I'm going to read something else. Now, the things that I'm reading to you now is in reference to breaking these curses. It says in James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. You see, now, and I'm going to say something. In 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, this is a key. Thank you, Jesus. This right here is a key to breaking curses. What is that key? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. You know. Jesus said, if you have faith to speak into this up to this mountain, said it'll take up and jump off into the sea. Well, what was Jesus talking about? He was talking about really the power of forgiveness. See, it's hard to break anything in the spiritual realm when you're harboring unforgiveness. You're actually giving the enemy permission to come into your life and bring oppression, depression, bring all kind of other evil spirits on you because you're holding on to something that Jesus said you must do. He said you must do this. And Peter went and asked Jesus one time. He said, well, Jesus said, well, you got to forgive folks. And, well, and you know, the apostles said, well, how many times, Lord? He said, well, all day long, 7 times 70. 7 times 70, that's over 400 times a day. So you got to stay in a spirit of forgiveness, of love, and of repentance. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. Or else you're still giving the enemy permission to bring stuff to you, to attack you, you see. But see, in order for us to know these things, what do we have to do? We have to get in the word. Like I say to so many people all the time, I said, all the answers that we need in this life is right there in the book. It's right there. Only thing you got to do is look in it, study it, look into the meaning of some of these words, Hebrew and Greek, and you'll find out that, yeah, we got all the answers right there. Anywhere the enemy come, we got some for him. You know, and that's how you do it. That's how you do it. And that I say it this way. Jesus defeated the enemy on every level. He did. But he gave that same authority to us. When he died and went on the cross, And then he was buried and resurrected. When he went back and he's sitting on the right hand of the Father, he delegated the same authority that he had to us over the enemy. That's why he said, behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, not some of it, but all the power of the enemy. And he said, you can tread on scorpions. And he said, and he shall by in no means hurt you, but notwithstanding that the enemy is subject to you, the spirits are subject to you, but that your name is written in heaven. So in other words, if your name is not written in heaven and you haven't accepted the Lord as your Savior, you're not saved, then it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But when you are and you have accepted the Lord as your Savior, you have already been given authority. You have already been given power. You have already been given authority over all of that. The only thing you have to do is speak to it and say, no, no, you're not going to do it. No, I'm not accepting you. No, get out of my mind. I'm not listening to you. Bye. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And what he's hearing is not just you saying that. He's hearing the authority of Jesus Christ. When you're all right standing with God. Now, if you're not, you're going to be like the seven sons of Sceva. You're going to try to, you know, buck up against him, and he's going to beat the fool out of you. He's going to beat the fool out of you. Because that's what you're acting like. But when we are in obedience to God and right standing, and none of us, I'll say this, none of us are perfect, but all of us can be of a repentant mind. All of us can be loving. All of us can seek the wisdom of God. All of us can seek the knowledge of God, you see, and be perfect. Now, a lot of folks have I'll have to bring this out. The scripture tells us, and when we read it, a lot of time perfection is in reference to maturity, and maturity is in reference to perfection. Now, until we leave this earth, we're going to be growing. Until we leave this earth, we're going to be moving in aspects of perfection and maturity. But what maturity and perfection means in reference to God, it means this. When you get saved and say you used to be a perverse perfect, a perverse person. Now, when you come to the Lord, his idea of perfection is that you're not perverse anymore. So you're perfect in that area, okay? You're mature in that area because you're not perverse anymore. So it could be the same thing in any other sin or a weakness. That's maturity. That's perfection. And so in this life, we're going to, like Paul said, we die daily. And that's what Paul was meaning. He said he was dying daily to his flesh, to error, to sin, to imperfection. It's a daily thing. As long as we are repenting and striving to that perfection of Jesus Christ, that's all he's asking.
Well, yeah, nobody is perfect, but like you said, strive daily. There are some things that the Holy Spirit will bring to your memory and say, you know, I'm not too pleased with that. And let's address this. You got Christians fornicating, and you're going to church every day. You know God ain't pleased with you. So you need to say, Lord, what do I need to do? My flesh is weak. Strengthen my flesh, Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And God can do it. But we have to call on him. We can't try to do this on our own.
No. No.
You know?
Because it's spiritual.
It's a spiritual war.
So we're glad you called in, brother.
Amen. So we only have about 14 minutes left in the program, and the call-in number is 319-527-6058. If there's anyone else out there that's listening that have a desire to call in, they have a something they want to say, an opinion, you can call in, and I would like to say that keep it to about a minute or so because we only have 14 minutes left.
Amen.
But to all of you all out there that are listening, we thank God for you. We pray that something has been said to encourage you and bless you. And we're going to close out the program.
Amen.
Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we ask God that everyone that was listening be blessed. We ask that you give them revelation of mind and heart. Let the word be made anew in their spirit,
yes.
Father God, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen and amen.
Amen. Well, we'll see you on next week coming with some more weapons, spiritual warfare, but we're getting a little deeper. Every week we're going to get a little deeper and a little deeper because we can't just give it all to you at once because there's a lot to maintain, but we're going to tell you about demon clusters and how they come in group. And 9 times out of 10, if you got one spirit, they have, now you got the head spirit, that's the I would say the general of the army,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they refer themselves as hosts.
Yeah.
So you might have the head demon, but then attached to it is all other little spirits. That's why in doing deliverance we start with the little ones, is easier to come out. But those spirits that's been there for generations and generations, those are the ones that you got to do some serious spiritual warfare. And I was casually mentioned fornication. But come on, if you have had 3 and 4 generations of fornication, that's attaching to your soul.
Yeah.
And that's a way of life. So if your great-great-grandmother was a fornicator, your grandmother was a fornicator, your aunties, uncle, fornicators, guess what? It's going to be harder to do spiritual warfare because that's a generational thing, okay? Same thing with alcoholism. If you talk about 4 or 5 generations, everybody was alcoholic, that's going to be harder to break because it's a generational thing. It's not as easy. It's people say, well, I could stop drinking soda. But when you bound up with alcoholism, all these perverse sins, gambling is another generational curse. Well, we just played bingo, but that can open the door to serious gambling. And there's demons attached to it. It's a spirit of greed attached to gambling. Oh, come on now. I'm telling you the truth. Avarice, lust. Because the way the casinos make their money, they lure you in with a false expectation. That and all these different types of games. The door open because you say it's just innocent. But then you giving that spirit permission to come into your house. Amen. So we're going to be talking on these things, and I hope we just kind of shed it some light onto how we give permission and open doors. And it starts from a lot of times through our lineage, witchcraft. You might start with just some tarot card readings or something as innocent as horoscopes, but it can escalate. I have seen Christians go to these madam whatever to get, they want to get a word or they want to know their future. But when you go there, you're opening that door, okay? Because those people do have allegiance with the enemy. See, we be over on his territory, and then we want God's protection. He said, touch not the unclean thing. So we got to be very careful, saints. So tonight, as we get off the program, I want you to go home. I want you to look at your house and see what doors have we may have opened. And then you make a conscious decision to close them. If it's doors in your marriage that you have brought in there, you need to close them. Now, I said, we're here to pray with you. We'll intercede with you. But we're not going to do the fighting for you. You have to pick up your own sword, your own shield. And you have to take authority over these things that's in your family. Amen? And start and break it off your own family line. It's starting with you tonight. You fathers, rise up. Say, I'm breaking it off of you because you're not going to have a repeated generation of this. Call it out. I told you, you have to call those demons out. Let's not pet these demons. Call it for what it is. If it's lust, call it out. Call it out. Because as long as you don't address it, they're going to hide. So we're going to be getting into that next week. But we love you. We're glad you could tune in. And keep us in prayer. We'll see you next week. May God bless you and your family. Good night.
Amen.
Bye.